audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Coming up today on The Story.
It was pretty hard. It was devastating on our family, and we weren't sure how we were going to handle everything up there, but God came through for us. Here we are. We're the missionaries. We'd gone to these communities to reach out to the people, and in fact, it turned around the other way. God used the people of the community and the people of the church that was in the community to minister to us.
The Story.
G'day, I'm Jimmy Colfax. Welcome to The Story. Well, last time we heard from John and Sandra Drost, who are originally from warm and sunny Queensland, but decided to serve the Lord as missionaries in the cold Arctic region of Alaska and Canada. And they have appropriately named their newsletter, The Frozen Wombats. When we ended last time, they had just decided to go to Alaska and northern Canada to be missionaries. Now, we're going to find out the rest of their story as they continue their chat with Eric Scatterbo in our Melbourne studios.
Welcome back to the program, John and Sandra Drost.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back on the program. And so the Lord worked in your hearts. You wanted to go to the tropics, that's what you said, but then you decided to go to northern Canada. And so what happened next?
Yeah, so if it was up to me, I would definitely be Fiji or Vanuatu. Mm-hmm. I would love to be those areas there, you know. But that's not where the Lord wanted us to go. Mm-hmm. And we've spoken earlier about a vision trip and so forth with this organization, with a mission organization we're with Send North or Send International. Mm-hmm. And we thought we were heading to Alaska. And I thought I was going to be on the maintenance team there, being a Sparky. And Sandra thought she was going to do some teaching.
And that's where their headquarters is?
And that's where their headquarters at that time was, in Glen Allen, Alaska. Small
and this
community.
Is about 2003, 2004?
Yeah, around about 2003-ish, mm-hmm. Yep. And ended up, we ended up in a town called, or a community called Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory, which is northern Canada. And it's close to the Arctic Circle, a little bit sub-Arctic. We're down a little bit lower than the 60th parallel.
So not quite as cold.
No, well, it gets just as cold, but not for as long.
Okay.
It's a little bit better. And we also get a little bit more daylight, instead of being dark all the time.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I heard that when you go way, way far north, that there are parts of the year that they only have sunlight like 1 hour a day.
Oh, no, 24-hour darkness.
No? And then No sunlight.
So once you're above the Arctic Circle, which John was going to get to a little bit
down the track. Sorry about that, I got too excited about that.
No, that's okay. Once you're above the Arctic Circle, it's 24 hours darkness in the middle of winter and 24 hours sunlight in the middle of summer.
Wow.
And that time varies depending on how high you are towards the mm-hmm. North Pole. But where we were was around about 4 weeks, I guess, where the sun didn't come up above the horizon.
So you had a day that wasn't a day, in a sense.
Well, in a sense, yeah, I guess. There's a 24-hour period. Yes.
All darkness.
Yes.
No sunlight.
No sunlight.
Wow.
No.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, it certainly, it was very interesting. Whitehorse, as we said, wasn't too bad because we were down a little bit lower. Further north, it was hard for me to take. The darkness was really tough for me at times.
Yeah.
I
can see sometimes, you get like a week or two where it's cloudy, and even that's kind of depressing after a while. You want to see the sun. But this is like weeks on end.
Yeah, it is. It is. When we were further north, I used to look forward to the 1st of February when we would just see the little glimmer of the sun come up on the horizon.
Wow.
And go down again, because you'd get a little glow in the sky, and it was like...
That was it.
Wow. And then as February went further on and into March, you'd start getting your sunlight, and it was much better for me.
Yeah.
I really understand how seasonal affective syndrome works now, because...
What is that?
It's just the darkness.
The lack of vitamin D that you get from from the sun, really begins to play havoc with your emotions
and stuff. Yeah, I can imagine that.
And also, you're probably not aware that there's a chemical reaction that happens in your eyes when sunlight hits your eyes. And
is that right?
And that's what helps actually regulates your body, sleep patterns and things like that. So when your body's not actually getting those regular stimulations from the sun, it starts sort of getting out of whack. And so you get this seasonal affective disorder, and it just really becomes a bit of a problem and causes fairly major depression.
And is that the main thing that people go through?
Yeah.
Seasonal depression?
There's a lot of depression. The depression in our region of where we work is extremely high, causing a lot of suicides and things like that. But some of it is societal things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Other things, it's spiritual, and then other is physical things like the seasonal affective disorder. So there's many reasons for it.
And on the other side of the coin, the other season, do you get like 24-hour sunlight?
Yeah, so and that's the opposite. And so John really struggles with the darkness. I really struggle with the light because
you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, and I don't. John can just fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah. I can shut down when I need to shut down.
Good on you.
But
that's practical.
I don't. I really struggle with the whole falling asleep in the daylight, and you have to darken your room, and then you feel like you're in a dungeon, and that really affects me, and so I get really tired, really, really tired in the summer.
Because you're not really getting that deep sleep?
No.
So this is just part of the challenge of living in that area.
Yeah, and, you know, like you'll have kids roaming the streets in little tiny communities because they're still awake as well, you know.
Like 3 a.m. or something?
Yeah, it's not unusual. So
wow.
It's just a very different culture.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, I interrupted you to get to that little sidetrack, which I'm very interested in.
Yep.
That's what happened
next? Yeah, so we left Australia on their way over. Mm-hmm. We landed in Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory, and God really, he placed us there. I know why he placed us there now, because it was a real good area for us to learn some culture and also learn how to survive in the cold. And it was a safe place because it's a city of about 25,000 people. It was good. We had a really great time and had a really good positive experience in Whitehorse. We got there and within a matter of months, we got introduced to some of the indigenous people groups over there and whom we really felt called to. And we got involved.
Going back to your original call, that's what kind of drew you into that
that's
area.
That's right. And we...
No, they're not called Eskimos. What are they called there? The indigenous people?
So in Whitehorse, they would be First Nations. Further north is Inuit, Inuvialuit, or Inuktitut. So
these are the tribal names?
Yeah, they're the people group names.
People group names,
yeah,
I should say.
In Alaska, Eskimo would be the Inuit people group, or Indian would be the other.
Yeah, so where we were, initially in Whitehorse, it was more First Nations, and God introduced us to a gentleman there. His name was Ray, and he had come to Christ back in the 70s, and he was our bridge into the community. Mm-hmm. And we used to just help run a little church there in the Kwanlin Dun Band, and that's the actual tribe, the Kwanlin Dun people tribe there. And we had a great time. We learnt a lot. They taught us a lot. They laughed at us a lot because some of the things they used to do, it's like
had they ever met an Australian before?
Yeah, some of them had. There's been some Aussies in the Yukon Territory before in that area, and it was a really good time of ministry. We saw people growing in the Lord. We traveled a lot and we learnt a lot.
God just humbled us, I think, and just really we had an opportunity to work with a lot of elders in that little fellowship. And these elders couldn't read English. They were totally illiterate. And yet God would impress on them truths from Scripture that they couldn't read. And so often there was times where, like, they would come to us and go, you know, God's suggesting to us that just praying through things, and he's talking to us about this or that. And they would say, what does it say in the Bible about that? And they were like 100% on virtually every time.
Wow.
With the direction and with the truth, and just really wanting that to be affirmed in Scripture. And it was just so amazing just to see how God was working through His Holy Spirit and bringing truth into these people's lives, and that it was constantly always being backed up in Scripture with what He was doing.
Yeah. And that had to be a bit humbling, because here you were the missionaries. You had gone to Bible school. You were supposed to know all this stuff. And yet here, just for them humbly praying, they were getting spiritual truths as well.
That's right. And the thing that, you know, like, what was fantastic about it as well was they wanted to not be stand on it unless they saw it in Scripture as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just amazing.
You're listening to The Story. Today, Eric Scatabo is once again chatting with John and Sandra Drost, who are originally from Queensland, but now serve the Lord as missionaries in the Arctic region of Alaska and Canada. They've been sharing about some of the unique challenges of serving in that part of the world. Unfortunately, they would go on to experience an extreme tragedy that would leave them needing to be ministered to rather than being able to minister to others. We'll find out about that and more when we return.
The Story. If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401 132 888.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Colfax, and this is The Story. Once again, Eric Scatabo is chatting with John and Sandra Drost, who are originally from Queensland, but now serve the Lord as missionaries in the Arctic region of Alaska and Canada. Before the break, they shared about some of the unique characteristics of serving in that part of the world. Sadly, they would eventually go on to face a major challenge that would rock their world to the core.
Unfortunately, there were some challenges, major, major challenges that you went through. We're not going to get into the details for privacy purposes, but let's just say that your family was the victim of a crime, a horrendous crime that occurred. Please share with us about that.
Yeah, and we were in the Whitehorse area for 3 years. We relocated further north, way further north, into the real Arctic regions.
Mm-hmm.
We really felt called to that area, and we got involved in some ministry up in those communities up there, and actually helped build a church, a physical church building as well.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, as you said, you know, something had happened, a major crime, and it was pretty hard. It was devastating on our family, and in fact, we weren't sure how we were going to handle everything up there, but God came through for us. Here we are. We're the missionaries. We'd gone to these communities to reach out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it turned around the other way. God used the people of the community and the people of the church that was in the community, the local people, to minister to us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just an amazing thing because
because this was public, everybody in the community knew what happened.
Exactly, that is correct. Yes, and for us in our ministry, we really believed to be in ministry, we needed to be part of the community. Mm-hmm. We needed to be transparent, and they could see that we were hurting. They could really see that.
Yeah,
and they came right beside us and stood along us and supported us.
One of the things that the people in this community and in this whole region actually struggle with is the sense of not feeling good enough and not
What, low self-image type thing?
Yeah, low self-image, low self-worth, never been good enough to be a Christian. And when they are, when they do follow the Lord, constantly falling and so feeling like they're just giving up on their Christian faith because not feeling good enough or worthy enough. And one of our focuses and things that we really felt called to was to live this authentic Christian life of where the things aren't always rosy. Things are really tough and we make terrible mistakes. We're human and things happen. And so when this tragedy happened and this situation happened, we wanted to live that out. We wanted to live out that authentically. And the morning after the major thing that happened, I literally woke up singing "It Is Well With My Soul." And the Holy Spirit was just so present, carrying us through. And that's what we wanted the community to see. We wanted them to see us being carried by the Holy Spirit, being carried by the Lord, that this God that we served and loved was walking right beside us, not condemning us, and that as strong Christians, we had a Father that we could hang on to, and that actually, even in our frownness, even when we couldn't hang on to him, he was hanging on tight to us.
You know, usually when you think about being missionaries, you think about, oh, I need to learn things from the Bible that I can share and communicate with others. But it sounds like through this tragedy that happened, they needed to see your lives, how you would live, how you would live your faith. And that would speak volumes to them more than any sermons or Bible studies. Obviously, those are important, but they just needed to know how this faith life actually works in reality when your heart is ripped from you and you're hurting badly.
Yes. And it was the community then came around us. And even though we had support from our mission organization, even though we had support from people like yourselves and our supporters from overseas and things like that, it was the community that carried us through.
So you were supposed to be ministering to them in theory.
Yeah, but
they were ministering to you.
That's right.
That's right. Beautiful.
Yeah. And it was just amazing. And just to watch God work, it just sort of blows my mind away how he worked during that period of time.
Yeah. And it was a tough time. But as Sandra said, the relationships we are able to have with the people in the community now, they're lifelong relationships and they're friendships. Yeah. And, we are still, we're no longer in that community. Our mission have asked us to move on and they asked us
to a different community,
to Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. And it was our vision and the mission's vision for us to move there to be a base for a new push further into the Arctic, further up and further
across. Into the cold.
That's correct, yes. And even to this day, though, we're in communication with the people from those communities. Yeah, they're calling us. We're praying with them. Facebook is a huge thing these days and everything else.
Well, the thing is, I mean, how do relationships strengthen is when you go through tough times together.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Mm. Yes. So that has been a real, it was a hard time, but it's been a real blessing as well. And, but, we've now moved on to Yellowknife for this vision that we were asked, we felt and were asked to do. And, that was going back about 6 years ago now. Mm. And, Yellowknife was, had its own struggles though. We've had some real things going on there that, we were supposed to be supporting missionaries in the north, and That didn't seem to happen. There's been a real struggle in missions over the last few years.
As far as getting missionaries?
As far as getting missionaries. Mm. People are changing. Mission's changing. Mm. And mission in the northern part of the Arctic, requires certain
people.
For
some reason, people aren't just holding up their hands saying, I want to go.
That's correct.
I don't understand. What's the problem?
Yeah, that's what's happening. And so we really struggled up there. We've struggled in Yellowknife for a number of years. Mm. And,
But seriously, there is a need up there because there are indigenous people who need to know the Lord.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, our path was meant to be that we were supporting these people in all these communities that were going to be in there, and that didn't happen. But, you know, God just took us through a bit of a season of waiting on Him, and mm-hmm. the verse that comes to mind that we held on to quite a lot was in Isaiah 40, verse 31, and it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And, you know, for 6 years we'd sort of been sitting there going, Lord, what is it that you would have us do? Yes, we were doing ministry, but it wasn't the ministry that we were called to. So God had asked us just to be patient and wait, and that waiting is pretty hard, but he moved, and at the beginning of this year he started moving, and our organization started looking at partnering with another organization that was working throughout the Arctic. And to sum that up, basically he's moved, and now we are in contact and supporting ministry that's going right across the Arctic.
Wow.
Every day, talking with different individuals in different congregations spread across right to the furthest eastern part of the Arctic, and just supporting them. And only God could have done the change around, and it's just incredible change.
So obviously this journey has not been anything like you thought it was going to be, but ultimately you are having an impact through what you're doing now throughout the whole Arctic region, through supporting other ministries. That was exactly your original vision.
That's correct.
Can I just interject a little thing here? We, right back in the original, when we first started, we said that God used the transformation videos to get us.
Oh, yeah, the original videos John had seen that both of you saw. Yeah.
So the organization we're working with, the person who instigated that video is the person who we are working alongside.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Talk about full circle.
God had it all planned out, and, you know, his faithfulness is...
Wow.
He's the author and finisher of our faith.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for having us. It's been a real privilege.
And I hope we had the studio at a comfortable temperature for you throughout the interview.
Yes, it was.
Oh, very good.
It was
very comfortable.
That was the conclusion of Eric Scatterbo's chat with John and Sandra Drost, who are originally from Queensland but now serve the Lord as missionaries in the Arctic region of Alaska and Canada. They are with Send International. And if you'd like to learn more about that ministry work they're involved in that area, you can go to the website, send.org. That's simply send.org. While you're there, just look up Alaska and Northern Canada. Finally, it was comforting to hear that even though they went through a deep valley of life experience, God was always with them and strengthening them through it all. As Sandra shared from the book of Isaiah, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Encouraging words for all of us as we go through tragic experiences in our lives. The Lord will never leave us or forsake us. Well, thanks for joining us for John and Sandra's story. I'm Jimmy Colfax, encouraging you to share your story with someone today.
Next time on The Story.
Well, this is a wonderful privilege today to be here sitting in a studio in Kathmandu with the team from Message of Hope. We have Shanti, Anuvav, and Dr. Pandey, who are all a part of the team here. Thank you again for allowing us to be here.
Thank you.
Andrew Robbo Robinson is in a radio studio in Kathmandu, Nepal, to find out the story behind the Christian radio station there in a predominantly Hindu country. He also gets to know some of the people working there who make it all happen. All that and more is coming up next time.
The Story. Just another way Vision is connecting faith to life. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.